As we reflect upon the scriptures that we read tonight, I want to begin by drawing your attention back to what was said in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, when the angel appeared on that night and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." I want you to think about the words good news, and I want you to ask yourself the question tonight, what is the best news that you have ever heard? What's the greatest, the best news that you've ever heard? For some of you, maybe it was the news that you were accepted into the college of your dreams or got the job of your dreams. For others, perhaps it was the news that you were going to give birth to a child in your family. For some, it may have been the news that you received an award or a promotion or something like that. And for still others, maybe it was the news that you received some test results back from a biopsy and those results were negative, and that was good news. What is the greatest news that you have ever heard? All those examples I just gave you are undoubtedly very good news. But what I want to tell you tonight is that those pieces of good news pale in comparison to the good news that was announced on that night when the angels spoke to the shepherds. This news was so much greater, and it was greater for a couple of reasons. First of all, it was far greater in terms of its implications. Most of the good pieces of good news that you and I receive in our lives only have implications for this life. But this good news had implications not just for this life, but for eternity. And secondly, this news was much greater than all the other pieces of news we receive because it was greater in its scope. The news that we receive, all the good news we receive throughout our lives, most of it just pertains to us or maybe to our families. This news was for all people, every single person on the planet. This was good news that was announced to them. So what is this good news? Well, it's good news about a person. Immediately after the angel announces that he's bringing good news of great joy that will be for all people, he says in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." It's good news about a birth of a baby. Now, somebody could argue that, well, the birth of a baby is really not that significant because there are millions of babies born all over the place. I looked up, actually, according to the UN, approximately 385,000 babies are born every day. Approximately 16,000 babies are born every hour. So just think, by the time this worship service is done, there will be 16,000 new babies in the world. That puts it in perspective, doesn't it? 267 babies born roughly every single minute of the day. And with so many babies born, you might think that, well, how could this birth of just this particular child at this particular moment be so significant? Well, it was significant because this wasn't just any child and this wasn't just any birth. This was the most significant child and the most significant birth in the universe. So who was this child? Well, the angel tells us something about the identity of Jesus. The angel gives three different titles for Jesus in Luke 2:11. He says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Savior, Christ, and Lord. This is what tells us about the identity of Jesus. Each one of these titles tells us something about who he was. First of all, this child was and is a Savior. That word Savior tells us a lot because, first of all, it tells us that we need to be saved from something. If God sent a Savior, that means we need to be saved from something. What is it that we need to be saved from? Well, if you turn to the Gospel of Matthew and you read about the birth of Jesus, you actually find the answer there very clearly because you see that the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream before Jesus was born and told him what to name this child. And he said, "You shall name him Jesus." Why? "For he will save his people from their sins." So what is it that we need to be saved from? The answer is we need to be saved from our sins. Now, almost everybody in the world today can agree that something is not right with the world in which we live. All you have to do is turn on the television and you will see that something is not right in the world, that there is so much going on, that something is wrong. Something is not the way it's supposed to be. And the question that we have to face is, what is the problem? What is the problem with our world? The Bible says the answer is sin. Humanity has rebelled against its creator, and ignored his laws, and that's what the Bible calls sin. Now, some of you may bristle at that idea or think that, well, I'm not sure I agree with that or like that, but you know what I want to argue tonight is that most of us know deep down, whether we like it or not, we know that that's true, and we know that that's the reality. In his classic book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis argued that if we are honest with ourselves, there are two beliefs that every single human being knows deep down to be true. He says, quote, first, that human beings all over the earth have this curious idea that they ought to behave in a certain way and cannot really get rid of it. And secondly, they know that they do not, in fact, behave in that way. They know the law of nature and they break it. And these two facts are the foundation of all clear thinking about ourselves and the universe we live in. Lewis was right. We all have an awareness deep down that there is a moral law, there is some standard, and that we have not lived up to that standard, whatever that standard may be. And the Bible calls this sin, and it says this is what alienates us from one another, and this is what alienates us from our Creator. We need to be rescued from our sin. And the good news that was announced to the shepherds is that God sent a Savior, one who came to rescue us from our sins. That's the first title that's given to Jesus. He is a Savior. But he's also, secondly, called the Christ. What does it mean that Jesus was the Christ? Christ was not Jesus' last name, but it is a title. And it is a title that is a translation, really, of just the Hebrew word Messiah, which means anointed one. What does it mean that Jesus was the anointed one? Anointed to do what? You can go to the Old Testament and find a little bit of help there, because you find that in the Old Testament, there were really three different primary significant roles that were people who were appointed by God and anointed by God. The first was prophets. Prophets were anointed by God, and they were the ones who spoke on behalf of God to the people. The second anointed group was priests, and the priests were mediators between God and the people. And then the third group of people that were anointed were kings, and they were the ones who were leaders who represented God and ruled on behalf of God over the people. So we have prophets and priests and kings, all of whom were anointed. And what's so interesting is that after Jesus was born, you learn a couple of things about him. You learn, first of all, that Jesus, he fulfilled all three of those roles simultaneously. Jesus was a prophet and a priest and a king, the New Testament tells us, all at the same time. And secondly, we learn that he was greater than all of those prophets, priests, and kings who came before him. He was a greater prophet because all of the other prophets were just men who spoke on behalf of God. But Jesus was not someone who claimed to be a man speaking on behalf of God. Jesus claimed to speak as God himself. This is why people were just absolutely flabbergasted every time he taught. They said, we've never heard anybody teach with the authority like this. So he was a greater prophet. He was also a greater priest. The priests of old, all of them were mediators on behalf of the people, in between the people and God, but they had two problems. First of all, they were inadequate mediators. And the reason they were inadequate was because they themselves had sin, and so they themselves were alienated from God. And therefore, when they offered sacrifices on behalf of the people, they had to offer sacrifices not just for the people, but for themselves. So they were really inadequate mediators, and they offered inadequate sacrifices. Their sacrifices could never fully atone for the big problem, which was sin, and so they had to be offered over and over and over again. Well, Jesus didn't have any of those problems. He was the perfect mediator because he had no sin of his own, and he offered the perfect sacrifice that atoned for sin once and for all when he ultimately went to the cross to die for the sins of the world. So, Jesus was a greater prophet, he was a greater priest, he was also a greater king. He was a greater king because all the kings of old, as great as some of them were, they eventually died. They were mortal. No matter how great each of them was, they could not reign eternally because they would eventually die. But Jesus was the one who would not only die, but rise from the grave and ascend into heaven and reign eternally, unlike all the other kings that had come before him. And so Jesus, what we see here is that he was the anointed one. He was the Christ, which meant he was prophet, priest, and king. And he was greater than all the other prophets who came before, greater than all the other priests who came before, greater than all the other kings who came before. That's why he's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So what does the angel tell us? That this child who was born was a savior, and that he was the Christ. And then thirdly, that he was the Lord. You know, in ancient Israel, the term Lord could be used as a title of respect given to someone in authority. You sort of sometimes hear that today, even in kind of royal language. People say, well, my Lord or my liege. But that wasn't how this word was being used here. If you read back in Luke chapter 1, Luke uses the word Lord 17 times before this point. And every single time he uses it, he refers to God himself. Just to give you one example, Luke 1:32, when Gabriel announces to Mary that she will bear a son, he says this about the son. He says, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, of his kingdom, there will be no end. What does this tell us? It tells us that when the angel calls Jesus the Lord, he is saying that this child is the sovereign God himself. This is God in the flesh. Make no mistake about it. And you know, I've said this before and I'll say it again. This is one of the things that separates Jesus from every other man that's ever lived. This is one of the things that separates Jesus from every other founder of every religion that's ever existed. It's been said before that all of the founders of virtually every other religion that's ever existed claimed to be men who had come to show you the way to God. Jesus didn't claim to be a man who had come to show you the way to find God. He claimed to be God who had come to find you. And that's what separates Jesus from every single other person who's ever lived. This was not just a man. This was not just a child. This is the sovereign God of the universe. What I hope you see is that Christmas is about a person, the person of Jesus. And his birth was the most important birth in the universe, and it has massive implications for your life and mine. If you're sitting here tonight and you're still undecided about who Jesus is, then what I would encourage you to do is to not stop asking questions and seeking to answer that question about who this child is. It's the most important question in the universe. One way you can do that is you can come join us in January. We're going to have a gathering every week in January called Christianity Explored, where we're going to ask questions and find out more about Jesus. Everyone is welcome, whether you believe in Jesus or not. It's an open place and non-threatening atmosphere where you can ask more questions about Jesus. There's more information in your bulletin. There's a table out in the gathering area where you can find more information about that tonight. I encourage you to consider that if you're somebody who's still undecided about Jesus. We're also going to send you home tonight with a little booklet as you leave that talks more about the good news of Christmas as it is explained in the Bible. And I encourage you to read and reflect on that as well. And again, if you're somebody who's undecided, don't start another year and leave that question on the back burner. Make that a front burner question. Who is this child? Because his identity is the most important thing in the universe. It's too important and the implications are far too great to leave that question undecided. On that night, so many centuries ago, when the angel appeared, he announced good news of great joy that is for all people. That may be very old news, but I would argue it's still just as relevant and important today as it was when it was first announced. And I've heard it said this way: this is the best news that you will ever hear, and it is the best news that anyone has ever heard. And if you don't think that it is the best news that you have ever heard, you can be certain you haven't understood it. The good news is that a child has been born. This child is a savior who is Christ, the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news. We thank you for your radical grace and generosity that you sent your Son. And Lord Jesus, though you were rich, yet for our sakes, you became poor so that we, by your poverty, might become rich. We thank you for the good news. We thank you, O Lord, that even though we live in a world that is broken, and even though we live in a world where we have this problem called sin, Lord, that you did not leave us, but you came to save us and rescue us from this problem. Lord, may we rejoice in that this Christmas and every day, and may we know that you are the Savior Christ, the Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.